Ahoy, hoy! Welcome to the Real Jaws Minute. I'm Tyson Ferris.
I'm Jeremy Sternhagen.
And this is Duel, part...
Three.
We're starting with the school bus sequence, which we kind of ended with, but we're picking it up here again. Mm-hmm. So, just right off the bat, all these kids should be at the front of the bus.
Yes.
If he's worried about his bumper going under the bumper of the bus, they should all be at the front of the bus. That would keep weight off. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes. I also, my big takeaway from this whole scene is they used to build cars like this, where the bumper was a load bearing, like you could push another car with it. Mm-hmm. Like, can you imagine pushing a car with a modern day car?
No.
Like, you might work, but your front bumper is just going to be his car literally has his 1970 Plymouth Valiant.
Yes.
Literally has like push points. Like, it literally has like two little protrusions on it where it's like the point of this is to push something.
Where it won't even harm the chrome, right? It's
right.
It literally meant to bump
it has,
another thing.
Yeah, it has a bumper.
Yeah.
Ergo.
Yeah.
Quick side note, 1970 Plymouth Valiant, the car used in the movie had a 318 V8 engine. And then when they came back to shoot the extended scenes, they had to get a different one because the original one was toast.
Sure.
So it was a 72 for the extended scenes that had a slant six V6 in it. So anyway, side note.
So even his car was demasculinized?
Yes. Yes. Yep.
If you're going on actual,
because none of the extended scenes had big action requirements,
sure.
So they had the little baby six.
I'm surprised.
Not even a V6.
Yeah, I'm surprised that had a. I'm surprised that car had a V8 in it.
Yeah,
it seemed.
What's funny though is V8s back then aren't like V8s today.
Yeah.
Like a V8 back then is a big gas guzzling, torquey, but slow as.
Yeah. So then, So he gets stuck under this bumper, like you said he was going to. You know, if you're pointing out just shots in the movie that are amazing,
mm-hmm.
The truck coming into the tunnel,
yes,
silhouetted,
yes,
and then
perfect
lights on,
mm-hmm.
to let him know that he's there, and it has the music sting along with it,
yeah.
God, that's good. I'm like, oh, baby, that is so good.
Yeah. The whole scene.
And
just
he
like
proceeds to completely lose his
Just like the diner scene, like the tunnel scene is like a scene in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you could just – that's like something they're going to show at a highlight reel. Like someday – they've already done a bunch of them. Oh, the documentary. Have you – what is it? Just a documentary called Spielberg. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Yes. I can't even remember how much of Duel is in that, but anyway.
I don't remember a lot of it.
Not a lot. But yeah, this would be a great scene to show in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has the most Spielberg tropes. It's not a good word choice, but.
Yeah, anyway. Like I said in the last one, it's kind of role reversal here. The truck looks like the hero. He looks like the crazy person.
Yeah.
Truck helps the bus on its way. All the kids are cheering. He tears off like a lunatic.
Yeah.
He's
like totally like irrationally out of his mind at this point,
mm-hmm.
almost.
Yeah.
He's like completely, yeah, he's bonkers.
Yeah. Which he should be. This is nuts. What's happening to him? This thing turned around for him.
Yep. It's like, where you been?
Yeah.
Hey.
It's like, hey. And then,
driving
like,
around.
Lights on. I see you. You know.
That goes back to my whole, like, dream thing. Like, the truck is always there at the right time. Like, it's – on one hand, it's just good filmmaking. But on the other hand, like, if you – posit it into the world of reality. You're like, how is that happening?
But if you notice in this film, there's no side roads on the road they're on.
No.
There's never a place to turn away. There's never a place to – they are on this road.
Mm-hmm.
So whether he gets in front of him or behind him, he can never deviate from
There's no way out.
Yeah, there's no way out. Yeah. He's like the shuttle Tidarian. He will not deviate from his present course.
I don't know. Drive casual. Keep your distance, David Mann. Yeah. Don't look like you're trying to keep your distance.
So then we get the train sequence.
This is an added scene?
This is an added scene.
Okay.
And if you look, it's a different truck.
Yes. I have notes on that.
Yeah.
The truck in the movie is a 1955 Peterbilt 281. And for the extended scenes, it's a 1964, 9 years difference. They hadn't changed it much, but because the 1955 was destroyed in the finale of the movie, when they came back for the reshoots, they had to get a totally different truck.
Yeah.
And the closest they could find was the 64 351. And there was also a 1960 281 used.
Well, which, it's not even that I didn't even just notice it as I didn't notice that it was like a different year of truck.
Mm-hmm.
I just noticed it actually looked like pretty much the same truck.
Yeah.
It just, I could tell that the paint job was a little,
yeah.
It wasn't to the specifications of the original
truck. Right. Back to my comment on it being ephemeral, like Steven Spielberg thinking, people aren't going to watch that close. Like, yeah, it's fine.
And actually, the way he shoots it pretty tight. And it's really only when it's pulling away at the very end of the scene that you can really tell that it's a different truck.
Yeah, I have in my notes the railroad, the school bus, and on the phone with his wife, and the opening with pulling out of the driveway. Like, that's the new scenes.
Oh, the wife scene is new?
Unless my notes are in error. I had the wife scene as a new scene.
So they came back and did those?
Yes, for the theatrical release, which only occurred overseas, by the way. They didn't release it theatrically in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. They loved him in Europe. So, by the way, they didn't have any sort of – so what we're talking about this whole, like, kind of demasculinization of the American male sort of narrative that it has in Europe. They seem to think it was about class warfare.
And
the businessman against the blue collar man. And so they had a whole different take on it.
It's interesting then, now that you say that, like cutting it for theaters and then releasing it overseas, like how the movie, like think of this movie. This movie is distinctly like an American, like this.
It's very American.
Well, because it's shot in like the expansive West, Southwest, you know, like I realize places in Europe kind of sort of there's, you know, probably Spain, you can get places like this, but this is a distinctly American movie. But the themes going on of it, of class warfare, et cetera, are very comparable to what. Yeah, I can see that being relatable. I'm trying to land this plane, but I can totally see how European audiences might have saw it in a different light.
Oh yeah. So then our next set piece. Something I was reminded watching this film is just how good, like right out of the gates, Spielberg is with set pieces.
Mm-hmm. This movie is a series of set pieces.
It's a series of set pieces, and that is really what Spielberg is great at. He is great at making movies around set pieces.
Almost all of his movies get mapped out that way, and that's like movie 101, right? Just like every 5 to 10 minutes of your movie has to almost be a scene that stands on its own.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's many movies that make a whole movie.
Yes, and I will confess that that's my favorite kind of movie.
So, yeah, my note here is snakes and gas.
Oh, the snake scenes.
Snakes and gas together at last.
Raiders of the Lost Ark has snakes and gas. By the way, did we – maybe you were going to get to this.
I just liked it because it rhymed.
What happens?
I literally wrote it out and I was like, oh, I'm a poet. It's and not, I didn't even know it.
Wah, wah. But who would have thought Steven Spielberg has multiple movies with snakes and gas? Hey, we didn't even talk about the fact that Spielberg reuses multiple actors in this movie. in later movies.
He does. We're not jumping quite ahead there yet.
Okay. Okay.
In this scene, we can.
The talk lady about who it. Runs the snake farm.
So this has my favorite stunt of the whole movie.
The phone booth crash.
Phone booth crash.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Like, I had basically to rewatch it to think, like, is this a special effect? Is there an optical? Is there mirrors? Nope. Dennis Weaver just had to dive out of a phone booth before a truck ran it over.
They put Dennis Weaver in a phone booth and then goes, hey, you better get out of the phone booth.
Yeah. Like, hey, we're going to yell jump.
Yeah.
And no big deal, but if you
apparently what they had is they had, like, cones off screen that the driver could figure out. He knew his point of no return, right?
Which is fine for the driver, but what about Dennis Weaver?
Well, because here's how it works. If the driver notices that Weaver's not out by he hits said cone, then he just doesn't hit the phone booth. He just steers away.
Right.
And goes another direction.
How do you practice that, though? Do they, like, have to practice, like, five times with an empty phone booth?
No, you literally don't practice. You just do it, and then...
That's pretty much how they shot this whole movie.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's a fantastic stunt. Hats off to Dennis Weaver doing his own stunt.
I seriously watched it and thought, like, there's an effect. There's an effect.
There's not. And apparently, it's one take.
The first take.
He shot it with three cameras, and you see all three shots in the film.
Yeah.
And that's that.
And I remember on the documentary, he makes a comment to the fact that Dennis Weaver was fully game to do all of his own.
And does a lot of his own driving.
Driving and stunts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So great stunt with the phone booth. I feel bad for the snake lady in this scene.
Oh, the reason I brought up the whole, like, other actors, did I get to this? She's in
1941. Yeah. When Belushi lands his plane on the highway.
Lands his Mustang on the – it's a Mustang, right?
It's a P-51.
Yep. Yeah. She's getting – so Spielberg is homaging Duel in 1941. And he says
fill it up with Ethel.
Ethel, yeah. If Ethel don't mind.
Yeah, if Ethel don't mind, yeah. So then he does this, like, crazy down the bank. So he speeds away. He gets in front of the truck.
Right.
And he goes down this embankment. The truck's nowhere to be seen. He goes down the bank, almost wrecks the car doing it.
Right.
And then like backs up real fast and like kind of gets behind like this little kind of rock outcropping.
Oh, because the truck then overshoots him because later he's driving and the truck's in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
So he basically goes, it's your idea, disengage.
Right.
I'm not moving. And then we get voiceover. This is where we get voiceover.
He's way too late on the disengage.
Yeah. This is where we get voiceover again. Mm-hmm. And it's him kind of just, he's kind of falling asleep. He's tired. And he's like, hey, buddy. He's like, you know what? Road's all yours. Like, I'm not moving for the better part of an hour. I'm going to take a little nice little nap. He starts going, he starts talking like his wife. He's like, oh, how was your day? He's like, oh, it wasn't too bad. Nothing of note. You know, he's just kind of like, and he just kind of, it's funny because the dialogue kind of drifts off as he drifts off.
Yeah.
So, and then we get a bunch of kind of location shots, and they're all dissolves. It's dissolve, 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 dissolve. So we're seeing passage of time. Long, lot of passage of time because it's dissolve to shot, dissolve to shot, dissolve. It's a little bit of a cheat here. We see something behind him. So it's blurry behind him.
I don't think I saw it.
We see something, and then we hear the truck roar and the honk of the truck horn.
Mm-hmm.
And then they blend that into a train going by.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And it's essentially made us to think that the truck has found him.
Yeah.
But in fact, he's just being scared by
a
train going by.
Yep.
But once again, you know, hiding from the truck, disengaging. This is once again another demasculinization of his character. Again, you know, it's a not what we expect from our male heroes in the films.
Do you feel like he's, through the course of the movie, I almost want to say that he, through the course of the movie, it's not like he like builds, gets stronger and stronger.
He does not. He actually gets broken down. He actually gets worse.
Until it's like inevitable.
Until he literally doesn't have a choice anymore, is my opinion.
Kind of like this other movie called Jaws.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
Where he's avoiding,
mm-hmm.
You know, foreground my ass.
Yeah.
He won't deal with anything.
Yeah.
Until it's like, oh, wait, the boat is sinking? Okay. I guess I got to deal with this.
So then our next thing, we get him tooling along. He thinks everything's great. All of a sudden, it's swerve, skid.
Oh, that's a great shot. Where he swerves, he hits the brakes and swerves, and you don't know what's going on. If I'm calling out
my third favorite shot of the film,
yes.
It's this. And we get this backwards rack zoom.
Where it's tight, it's a long telephoto lens tied on him. He swerves and brakes, and the camera zooms.
And it goes zooms back, yeah. And we're seeing it through the belly mm-hmm. of the wheels of the truck. So then we get a really great stunt. He's sideways in the road, and we get this really great stunt with this sedan.
With the other driver, the other car.
Yeah, it's out of focus, and he doesn't realize it, and it really adds some, like, you're like, oh my god, he doesn't even know this, like, car's like, and it starts skidding
it's
out.
It's perfect, like, telling the story with the camera, like, hats off Spielberg.
I mean, no dialogue, we're getting all this stuff with, and then it's allowed to pass, right?
We all know Steven Spielberg listens to our podcast, so I'm hoping he'll get to this episode.
Yeah, Steven, whenever you want to come on, you are invited, so.
And even if you don't.
I know we haven't reached out, but, I think you realize why we haven't, but if you want to be on, just have your people call our people.
And even if you never are, just know that we doff our cap to you.
Yeah.
Great movie.
So this is the point I feel like the sedan goes by, he's cornered, he has to fight.
Once
the sedan's gone. He's sitting there and he really is like just hands on face and just like, and then finally he kind of just like.
Because he's like hit the end of his fuse.
Well, I don't think he's hit the end of his fuse. He just like literally he's like, I got to see if I can get past this guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's been avoiding this entire film.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. And even when he's
avoiding or trying to disengage or like he's constantly trying to get. He's trying to go a different way than actual confrontation.
And even when confrontation is right there in front of him, he's like, back away.
Yeah. So he's now, like this is the first time where he is, it should be noted, this is the first time he's confronting the truck.
Yeah. He's going head to head with the truck.
Yeah. He's blasting on the gas and he's going to go past it. And then it just goes.
He's not backing off. He's not hitting the brakes. No, he's not avoiding.
He's being the aggressor here.
Yep. Perfect.
And of course the truck just kind of just goes burr, 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 and just blocks his way.
It's perfect.
Yeah. With almost minimal effort.
Yeah. It's just like, he like the guy, David Mann, like builds himself up in the truck's just like, yeah, I got a truck.
Yeah.
I'll just pull in front of you.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah. Oh, you're going there. Okay. Yeah. Nope. I don't think so.
So then he backs up. He goes all the way up and like backs all the way back around. And then he gets out on foot. He's like, fine, I'll just go up to the guy's cab and talk to him face to face. He's gotten to that point, which that's huge for this character, I think.
Is that like the equivalent of Brody getting on the Orca? Or it's hard to like draw straight parallels to Jaws. There's not straight
parallels, but I'd say that's fairly close to that. Him just telling his wife like, hey, I'm getting on.
Yeah. It's definitely him going like, if we're going to draw a Jaws parallel, it's where he realizes like, it's probably the, we're going to need a bigger boat scene where he's just like,
probably.
Like, nope. Like or maybe slightly beyond that.
Where he's like, you're certifiable.
Yeah, you're certifiable. Yeah, I was thinking of that too.
He's like, you broke the GD radio?
We haven't seen anything yet. Just cut a couple of drivers over and out.
Yep. So then this is a really interesting scene. He goes on foot. He's going to confront this guy face to face, man to man. And then the truck pulls away.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, are both of these guys chicken shit?
No, I don't think so. I think that I know where you're coming from, but I think the truck driver, it's for him, it's more just like hilarious entertainment.
But I had the thought crossed my mind. Are both of these guys?
You could go that way.
Nutless wonders? Like,
well, they're both stereotypes. They're both lacking in any like real, until one of them develops.
There is that whole stereotype of the guy with the big truck, you know?
Yeah.
And what he's
overcoming. Well, I think that's why the movie works so well, is anybody can attach that meaning to it. You can pick your own meaning out of it and be like, oh, the truck's just a nutless wonder. Mm-hmm. But what I really think is happening is my earlier theory, I don't know if you want to call it a theory, is that the truck is just like, no, this is cat and mouse and I want good prey. And if like, no, like cat and mice don't stop and talk and work their feelings out. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we're here to take this to the end. And as soon as you get out of, I have in my notes that for David Mann, his car is his shield. And without his car, there's no engagement. Like, if you look at the whole movie, like, when he's not in his car,
yeah,
there's no engagement. And it's, but also there's, he has to give up his car to win, but he also has to use his car to win.
Mm-hmm.
What he can't do in the whole movie is logically reason with the truck driver. He can't just like.
Which makes the parallel to Jaws. Once again, cannot.
Can't be reasoned with.
It cannot be reasoned with. Yeah. It is without logic, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no lot. Like, you can't. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. You can't use logic to win this.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we get the old couple comes up in their car. And I really liked this scene the first time I saw it in Back to the Future.
Which came out 15 years after this, 12 years after this movie.
But I'm sorry, Zemeckis is obviously nodding to Duel, right?
You think so?
Absolutely. They're almost essentially the same looking people in the same car.
Well, you do know that Spielberg used this couple in another movie.
He did.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
In Close Encounters, right?
Yeah.
On the helicopter.
Very unrelated.
Yeah.
Just using the same.
But I think it's even more related to Back to the Future.
Don't stop.
Don't stop, Wilbur. Don't. No. Yeah. Anyway, it's literally the same shot setups.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the same looking old couple. I think they're even in a very similar looking sedan.
I wonder if it's probably not the same actor and actress, but it wouldn't surprise me.
It could be. I don't know. Anyway, it's if it's not intentional, then it was just wormed into Zemeckis's mm-hmm. brain and he just did it unintentionally.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a nod to Spielberg. Yeah. So then the truck backs up, tells them to get out of Dodge, backs all the way up to his car. He has to kind of run off. And then we get kind of some really interesting editing film work here where we start getting, we get jump cuts
mm-hmm.
straight into his face.
Dennis Weaver's.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it shows his anger and determination growing.
It stops. The truck stops. My memory is that the focus on the truck kind of diminishes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the truck is just this omnipresent thing, but it's way more focused on like Dennis Weaver and his car and like.
No, but it's literally just him without his car, just in the wilderness.
Mm.
His car is probably 50 feet away from
him. When he's out of the car.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
Anyway, and it does like a wide shot of him, and then it does like a medium, and then it does like a close, and then like an even closer. Mm-hmm. And it's like dunk, 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 dunk. And it's like, yeah, it's like that fast. Like, yeah, it's almost on the half second.
Was this when the truck is like almost running him down?
No, it's after it backs off the old couple, and then it backs him down to actually run away from his car. Mm-hmm. And he's in the kind of in the sagebrush.
Got it.
And then it starts moving away, but then it stops and waits again.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it goes boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. I was like, all right.
Did you watch this by yourself? I'm just curious. I meant to ask you this. I didn't know if Kara watched it with you.
No, I watched it by myself.
We were at the post where he's out of the car scene.
Oh yeah, he's out of the car. We get these jump cuts. I love this. I love the idea of the jump cuts closer and closer to show this anger and determination that we've never seen out of the character. I think it works really well. I really wish the music wasn't like Looney Tune-esque with each cut.
Oh, where there's like a
it's like sting. Ding, bong, ding, dong, dong. Like, yeah. Like, as every cut happens, it's like has to put a musical note on it. And my I was like, ooh, that's a little hard.
My memory of that is that's what made it feel like a TV movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I will say that, as good as this movie is, when you see, like, when you read that, like, this was a TV movie, you're like, oh, yeah. Now, one more thing.
Also, like, the best TV movie maybe ever made. Like,
it has that reputation. Is that even a thing anymore, TV movies?
They still make TV movies. Yeah. Lifetime.
Okay.
I think the most famous one recently was the one that Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig did.
As a spoof. Oh, A Deadly Adoption.
Yeah. It wasn't even a spoof. They just literally made a Lifetime movie together.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was played seriously. Straight. It was played straight. Yeah.
Completely straight. Right. Yeah. So anyway, he sets off again. I love the truck has a little tip of the hat to the train that's going by. So as they kind of start their chase again.
When are you talking about? Okay, so the truck is parked. Dennis Weaver got out of his car and
he's
running towards it. He goes
speeding past it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, truck follows in pursuit. Anyway, the train from earlier is going along in one of the shots. And while it's chasing Dennis Weaver, it just goes honk honk. And the train goes honk honk. And they acknowledge each other. And it's... I thought it was funny.
Okay. When the train is right, like they're like literally driving side by side.
Side by yes, yes, side yes. beside each other. And they just do a little honk, 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 honk to each mm-hmm. other. And I think it's funny. Oh, it's like, hey, hey, you're doing your train thing. I'm just trying to murder this guy. Hong Kong. Hey. Yeah.
Sorry, I was back like a few minutes earlier when Dennis Weaver got out of his car and was running up the hill. That's why I up towards the truck. Yes.
So I love this. I love this idea that he has. You can't beat me on the grade.
And I wasn't quite sure what that meant other than to say like climbing a hill.
Grade means...
Yeah.
A steep hill.
Right. But that he's saying like the car can climb the hill better than the truck.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, cars can. We're always passing trucks on hills, right? That's why there's passing lanes on hills.
Yeah. So his truck is a full load. Like that's
a truck even if the truck doesn't have a full load, which we find out it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's not even, it says flammable, but it's not carrying anything.
Not carrying anything. Yeah.
If it was, it would have blown up into a fiery mess.
Yeah.
It's a smart idea if he had a new radiator hose.
Oh, if he would have taken care of his car.
Yep.
He does have the most boring, benign looking car ever.
Oh, yeah. It's
like even as a businessman trying to assert
his masculinity. So then this whole movie turns into the little engine that could.
Yeah.
AKA the engine inside the Plymouth Valiant.
It's funny you mentioned, I just watched Dumbo with my almost 5 year old. Do you know that movie really well? There's the scene of the train climbing the hill going, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And then on the other side, it goes, I thought I could, I thought I could. I remember when I watched this, I just watched Dumbo earlier that day, and I'm going like, I think I can, I think I can.
So this has to be like just the best little engine that has ever been made to take this sort of abuse.
That much smoke coming out of it, that engine is done.
It's done.
So done.
It's done. It has run out of – also, we see lights that it has run out of oil and water, right?
Yet it gets to the top of the hill and
– it somehow gets to the top of the hill, which I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Yeah. You can actually push engines until they break.
Yeah.
Until they will seize. And they will seize. And then switch it. And then he actually switches it to neutral and starts
that makes sense.
Going down the hill. It totally makes sense. The only problem I have is after he crashes and then he starts it up again, this car would never start in a million years. But this is the moment after he crashes it into that embankment. We're basically at the shark jumping onto the boat, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So at this point, we're on board.
Right.
With whatever's going to happen. And the fact that the engine starts up again, just so we can have a mono.
Perfect analogy. Like,
yeah.
The shark jumping onto the boat, the only reason that works is because you're along for the ride up to that point. Absolutely. You're like, okay, yep, that's what's happening.
Absolutely. That's what's happening.
It's perfect. I like the shot away. There's a shot too of trucks use low gear. There's a sign cut away like as they're heading like.
Yeah, trucks use low gear. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Anyway, he basically gets up to the top of this plateau and then he starts piloting it towards the truck for the final confrontation.
Oh, okay. So
that's where I was
after he's crashed.
Yeah. So he's
by the way, that crash at the bottom of the hill, that car's done. Not only is the engine done, the axle, that car's toast.
I actually think they're driving that same car up the hill because the wheels are all bent and like effed up going up that hill.
I guess it's done, but it's not done enough to not climb the hill. It's not done enough
not to drive.
Right, like, yeah.
But what I have a problem with is the things that he did getting it up the hill. It would never start again. I'm sorry. Not without some serious mechanic.
Oh, yeah. An overheated car needs a little more than that.
Well, also, he blew out all his oil and all his water. So, like, that
the smoke would still be pouring out of it at this point. The cars
would not be working. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with it. Anyway, so they get to, that upper plateau. He shoves his briefcase in there.
Oh, yeah.
And he does the ghost ride kind of on the side.
Yeah. And then, there's a very good establishing shot of the cliff.
Yes. Like,
okay, we're up on a ledge here.
Yeah, wonderful crash. And then, we just see this whole thing just kind of... I love that there's these inserts of him hitting the brake. Like, he's just trying to just push it off and not actually himself go over. I think he's just trying to push the car over and actually gets overzealous about it.
Why do you... Okay, so... Here's the big...
And actually ends up going over himself.
So that's my big, not problem, but question with this movie.
Okay.
Is the end. I'm on board with everything about the end that like, the movie's going to end with the truck going over a cliff. It smashes his car and goes over the cliff. I like the idea of Dennis Weaver piloting his truck right into the semi. Mm-hmm. But doesn't it feel like there's a bit too long, like where the truck driver... Shouldn't the truck driver know? Like, is his point to kill the car or to kill David Mann? Because it seems like it's pretty evident at that point that he's just running an empty car off the road. Why did the truck drive off the cliff?
I think that's why they put in those shots, those little cut-ins of him hitting the brakes and hitting that kind of lever thing.
Oh, yeah. He gears it up or whatever.
Anyway, I think he's trying to... I think he's realizing he's too close and he needs to stop, but it's too late.
Yeah, there is shot of him hitting the brake, but it's like 10. I feel like there you could have tightened up the editing for the to tell the story.
Yeah, I think we're getting a little overcritical, though.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't have a problem with it. But let me know, Jeremy hates duels, so.
Nope. I will say that the slow motion shot of the truck dying and going over the hill, all of it is beautiful. Cinematic lightning in a bottle.
Beautiful. Like,
it's beautiful. Perfect. They got so lucky the way the dust is pulling off the tanker,
how it completely gets obscured, and then the tanker comes out again.
Yes.
And smashes down.
It's perfect.
Beautiful.
And if they had 7 cameras rolling, they struck lightning with one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then I love that we have kind of this post-mortem.
Of him jumping and running around?
Well, just not even that, but with the truck.
Oh, where it cuts back to the truck and
it's
the wheels
stop spinning. It's all the way down there, but the truck's not dead yet.
Yeah, there is this like almost like is this
until its wheels stop spinning.
Yes,
it's not actually dead.
There's dust pouring off it. David Mann's looking at it like, is it over? Is it over?
There's transmission fluid, which has a reddish tint to it.
Blood. Truck blood.
Truck blood, right?
Yeah.
Truck blood dripping off the steering wheel.
Yep.
And then the wheels are basically its heart, right?
Yeah.
And they're like click, click, click.
So what did you say the movie needed to be retitled as? Wheels?
Wheels.
It's as though God created the devil. Oh, and the fan.
Wheels.
The fan is spinning.
The fan's spinning. Yeah.
Gears. Call it gears.
Yeah. And then basically... we end up with David Mann, Dennis Weaver, up top, and he's very excited. But then, as the truck dies, a bit melancholy,
mm-hmm.
I would say. And then Caesar wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer.
Perfect. Yep. Is it Caesar or Alexander?
Or is it Alexander?
It's Alexander.
Oh, my bad.
Boom. Sorry.
I think I still get points for knowing the quote.
Yes, you do.
And equating it to this
massive
movie.
Points. Yeah. You brought that to a place I would have never brought it to. Far more intellectual.
So now I guess my last question here, because we're at the end, and I know we're going a bit long on this one, but so at the end, what is this saying about? There's this through line of kind of modern masculinity, I mm-hmm. feel. And what is this saying? So, you know, he's henpecked at the beginning, and then he is, you know, he's valiant at the end.
Is he?
Yeah, well, that's the question. And maybe this is really...
I don't know that he even outsmarted the truck driver, or the same with Jaws.
He is victorious.
He's victorious, but how did he get there?
Yeah.
How is Brody victorious? But
he does essentially though.
He didn't give up. That's
he didn't give up. He did face it full on. But then at the end, when he is victorious, he is unfulfilled. This movie ends on a melancholy note.
He's right? not necessarily a new man. He's not going to go back to his life better, stronger,
or maybe even. Is he even necessarily changed by this?
I think that's where the movie works in that it puts it in the mind of the viewer to decide. I think you're left with this open-ended, like...
Him sitting on the cliff throwing pebbles into it.
I think he just needs a minute to think about it. And that's where it leaves it open-ended, like, okay, you dear viewer, now, after that experience... Who are you? Are you going to go into the world as after this?
What does alpha male mean to you?
You as a viewer should now be sitting on your knees throwing rocks in the sunset going, now what?
Yeah.
And I think that's where the movie leaves us.
Well, I think that's interesting.
We get to imprint ourselves on it. But no, the movie makes no definitive decision for our protagonist that David Mann is now a new man.
Yeah.
He's not reborn. He might be, but it's up to us to decide who he is.
Yeah. So, well, cool.
That buttons up Duel.
Well, with that, I just got to say thanks so much, guys. I know this last one was a bit long, but, you know, we really wanted to make this 3 episodes. So
So, folks, if you love this podcast and you love what Tyson and I do, you can just throw us a couple bucks on the PayPal or not. You can just keep listening. We're going to keep putting them out there. But if you love what we do, throw us a couple bucks on the podcast. But what you really need to do is tell your friends to subscribe, give us 5 stars on whatever you're listening to us on, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, whatever. And we'll be back for more Jaws-related podcasts. Folks, I wish I could tell you what movie we're watching next. I don't know.
Folks, we're like Indiana Jones. We're just making this up as we go along.
And I think that's for the best.
Yeah. Anywho, we're glad you're here making this up with us. Catch us next time right here on the Real Jaws Minute.
Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.